September meeting of the Port Houston Commission. Before we get started with the agenda, I'd like to highlight a few items that may be of interest to everyone here today. First of all, we've all survived Hurricane Harvey. But those physical and psychological impacts that many of us have felt will continue for the foreseeable future. I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get over what happened. And then we have our friends on the East Coast and our friends in Puerto Rico that don't even have potable water to drink. Only 40% of the population in Puerto Rico has water. And they have no way to get it to them because planes can't get in. There's no tower to direct airplane traffic. I understand from Mr. Friedman that ships can't get in. So there's all kinds of trouble and hurt in the world. And so we take a moment to think about our brothers and sisters that are in pain, that have been so psychologically and physically damaged here on the East Coast and in Puerto Rico. But I wanted to tell you a little bit more detail about the impacts of Hurricane Harvey to us here in this region, because I think it's important to everybody in this room, and it's important to our future. And one of the things that was most striking to me after this storm, and I'm sure all of you had the same reaction, which is, have you ever seen a group of people in a region come together more quickly and more readily to help each other without regard to race, creed, place in society? It didn't matter. We even had the Cajun Navy coming over to help our folks. We had people that pulled together from all parts of our industry to help one another. And I think that just speaks so highly of who we are as a region, state, nation, and as, I'm just very, very proud of us. Now, fortunately for Port Houston, Jeff Davis, Roger Gunther, people running our operations will tell you that we didn't have a lot of physical damage to our facilities, which is it's great. We had a little bit of damage, but not the same thing that happened during Ike, as an example. However, as soon as the roadways were cleared, and, you know, of course, that was a big problem for us, we got back to work. And I want to give a special shout out to Clyde Fitzgerald and the ILA, because you think about it, Labor Day, who was that holiday for? That's for the people that brought you the weekend, as Dean Corgi would say. And even though it was their special holiday, the ILA proactively, we didn't ask them to do this, the ILA proactively volunteered to work on Labor Day because we'd been closed for 4 days. We opened on September the 1st, which was a Friday. They worked through the weekend and on Labor Day to assure that we could get back to normal operations as quickly as possible, and I would like to give them a hand. And of course, we followed the coverage from Judge Ed Emmett and our mayor, Mayor Sylvester Turner, that showed extraordinary leadership during this very difficult time for all of us. And they're still showing a great deal of leadership. They have been working 24/7 to try to reduce the impacts to people, to try to help people. And it's important to them, and they communicated that to us and to other organizations around town, that it was important to get back to business as soon as possible. So we did that. But the impacts to the Houston Ship Channel are another story, so I would like to share that with you. I'm going to show you some satellite images. A picture's worth a thousand words. You've heard that before, but this is really true. These satellite images will demonstrate in very stark relief what's happened to the Houston Ship Channel. This first image was taken on Sunday, August the 20th, which is about a week before the storm hit. It is a view of the mouth of the Houston Ship Channel where the Galveston Bay system empties into the Gulf of Mexico. You can see it's sort of normal mossy green color. Then the next slide is a photo of the very same area taken on August the 31st, 4 days after the storm. And you can see the tremendous amount of silt that has come through the channel coming out into Galveston Bay. It just looks like a mud puddle. And of course, that's going to restrict the movement of commerce, because any silting that you have in the channel will impact the opportunity for ships to fully load and come through that channel. Now, third slide, the silting continues as floodwaters from the region as well as from across the state make their journey through rivers, bayous, tributaries, and into the Gulf of Mexico. So this photo is from September the 12th, and you can still see massive amounts of silt moving through our system. This is going to continue for months. We are the local sponsor of the Houston Ship Channel. We're working closely with the Army Corps of Engineers. I thank Roger and his staff for being so proactive in that regard. Army Corps of Engineers, of course, is having a difficult time locating sufficient dredges to mobilize into the necessary areas. There's a problem with funding. We haven't even assessed with the Army Corps of Engineers what it's going to cost to tackle this problem and to deal with the channel silting. And so we are really in need of additional relief from the federal government from this Harvey impact to dredge our channel to get back to normal commerce at our authorized depth and width. Now, although the channel is open and some commerce is flowing with restrictions, to show you some of these impacts, this is a before and after slide of the entrance to the Bayport container terminal. As you can see from the images, the darker areas are the deeper areas, the lighter areas show the silting. This entrance to the Bayport channel has lost 10 feet of capacity because of the massive amounts of silting that have come into that terminal channel. Same problem with shoaling at Barber's Cut, our second container terminal. Another 10 feet of shoaling within that terminal channel, which of course limits the ability of ships to come in fully loaded. It hurts two-way traffic, increases the cost of the supply chain. This next slide is the shoaling at the Turning Basin, which is normally at 36 feet. That has silted in about 5 feet. So again, that restricts the ability to fully utilize our break bulk and general cargo facilities at the Turning Basin. And the damage was not restricted to the ship channel and the terminal entrances. There are other components of the system that have also been seriously impacted. That includes our dredge material placement sites. We've had slope failures, the movement of reinforced structures, spillway failures, and these earthen levees that surround the placement areas and restrict the movement of that material have been damaged. And that's negatively impacted to our system. So all this ties together. And when dredge placement sites are not available or they fail, that's just more expense to us to have to fix that. It limits our ability to do what we need to do to take out this additional silting. It affects private industry because private industry needs dredge capacity. So again, it's a system problem where we all need to figure out how to work together to get this solved. So I'm showing you this so that we all can come together on the ramifications of this to our industry and to our operations here at Port Houston and the General Port of Houston. Channel depth and width is critical to what we do. And without the full use of this channel at its authorized depth and width, it seriously restricts our commerce, which will be felt by businesses and consumers. Now, we are engaged every day on the routine work that ensures an efficient channel. And even without storm impacts, there's natural siltation, as you know. And, you know, we're constantly advocating to get enough of the harbor maintenance tax that's collected from our users to keep our channel dredged at its authorized depth and width, much less to try to figure out how to get additional funding to deal with these flood impacts. And if you look at the impacts to commerce, through a study conducted by the Texas Transportation Institute, it was determined that a loss of 1 foot of depth in the channel cost the U.S. economy as much as $281 million a year. For 1 foot of loss of capacity for each ship, it's $1 million in lost revenue. So that's a serious economic impact, and that's a message that we need to carry to our congressional delegation and to the Trump administration to see if we can get some additional funding, not only from the harbor maintenance tax for routine dredging, but to deal with these Harvey impacts. But in addition to that, we also need to look at improvements to the current system to harden it. It's not a matter of will we have another flood, will we have another storm, it's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And they seem to come more and more frequently because we had a flood in 2015, Tax Day flood in 2016, and now Harvey in 2017. So part of this hardening of this asset may be to make it deeper. Certainly it will be to make it wider, because with the larger ships coming through the expanded Panama Canal, it's more and more difficult to have safe navigation with two-way traffic in our channel. And there's already a study being conducted, as you know, by the Army Corps of Engineers looking at these enhancements to this really important asset. And we believe that the Army Corps is certainly very receptive to the idea of widening and deepening this channel. So it's going to be our goal, and we're going to be working with everybody in this room to make the case to the Army Corps of Engineers, who we believe that I think we've almost got them there, and to our congressional delegation and to the administration, not only to help us recover to the pre-storm capacity, but also to harden this asset to make it better for our future and for growing demand. So when we call on you for your help, I know that you're going to be on board with us to assure that this asset is not only ready for today, but ready for the future. So thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. First, the July 24th Special Court Commission meeting. Is there a motion to approve? Thank you.
Second.
And then the regular public meeting on July 25th.
Motion. Second.
And the August 14th, 2017 meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye to those three.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those minutes are carried. Committee update, August 14th, 2017, Procurement Small Business Task Force update. Commissioner Kennedy.
Thank you, Chairman. We did meet on August the 14th, and I'd like to report on the second quarter findings. Gilda Ramirez provided this for us. Port Houston awarded a total of $34.9 million for construction, general goods and services, and professional services. And the Small Business Development Program eligible contracts made up almost $6 million of that total, with the result that $1.5 million was awarded to enrolled small business firms for an average participation rate of 25%. One of the important things that happened over that quarter is we passed a very important milestone. Since the inception of our Small Business Development Program, through the first half of 2017, the port has awarded over $500 million to small businesses at a participation rate of 39%. So that's quite a significant.
That deserves a hand.
Mr. Mayor has also reviewed for us some of the terminology that you, if you don't deal with it every single day, you kind of lose track of exactly some precise meanings, and those are important when you're dealing with contracts. So we went over some terminology, including what excluded contracts are, what exempt contracts are, what small business development program eligible contracts are, and she gave us some examples of each type. And it was a good refresher for all of us who participate on the task force. We also heard a report on the factors that staff uses to assign small business participation goals and on formal procurements, and that was very useful to us as well. We also reviewed a very busy schedule for the Small Business and Maritime Education Outreach Programs, and I can say that this office is probably one of the busiest offices here at Port Houston, and those employees who work there are out and about and are well known throughout our community. So good job for Gilda Ramirez and her team. They did a great job.
Gilda, would you please stand up so we can acknowledge your incredible efforts? Commissioners, do you have any questions of Commissioner Kennedy? Or?
I have another half of my report to
go. Oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Doggone it. Because we had some important reports from Yvette Campbell-Smith, who's our Director of Procurement Services. She noted that the total purchase order spending for formal and informal contracts at the mid-2017 timeframe was approximately $70 million. And goods and service purchase orders represented about 65% of that total. The total spending under the formal purchase orders was $63 million, and informal procurements were almost $7 million. The biggest users of funds here at Port Houston, as you would all expect, are our infrastructure, operation, and people divisions, and they made it. Those three divisions took up 83% of the total spending in the first half of the year. Those are not, that's not unusual at all. That's normal. Ms. Campbell-Smith also reported mid-2017 transaction numbers. Informal transactions represented 90% of the total. Formal transactions made up all the rest. Informal transaction for goods and services represented 79% of the informal total. One of the big projects that this division has been working on is to is the purchase order operations balance, and that amount has been consistently decreasing due to the efforts to close out old purchase orders that had no activity. So that's important because as they close those out, that's money that is available to us to spend on other contracts. Finally, Mr. Tom Height, our Chief Operating Officer, provides a list of future topics that we might want to consider for the task force. And that concludes my report.
That's an excellent report, Commissioner Kennedy, and such a full agenda. The other commissioners on your task force are Commissioner Branch.
And Commissioner Meese.
And Commissioner Meese. Well, that is really, really terrific. Was there a report prepared about the about both of those topics that you could share with the rest of the commissioners?
What's the question again? Was there a report?
Were any reports prepared that could be shared with the rest of the commissioners?
Certainly the briefing slides that we use are easily available, and so I would ask staff they could do that.
I just think it's important because many of us are asked questions from time to time about both small business and procurement, and it's just helpful to have the information at your fingertips in case you get a question. So,
and of course, our meetings are always open, and anyone's invited to attend. Anyone, these are open public meetings, so we would welcome the participation of anyone who cares to come.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Kennedy, for your leadership, and thank you, Commissioner Branch and Commissioner Meese, for your leadership on the task force as well. It's very important work. All right, the next item on our, before I get there, I want to remind everybody that the next Port Commission meeting will be on Monday, October the 23rd. Next on the agenda are appearances. Very happy to call someone to the lectern that I am just been so privileged to work with. The SWA Group, an architecture, urban design, and planning firm with a network of 7 studios worldwide, came to us earlier this year for an internship program here at Port Houston. They had a visioning project for ways to connect what is a very stark industrial landscape, to try to think of ideas to connect that landscape to the communities and to make it more visually appealing. And they have come up with some amazing ideas. And I would like to acknowledge the people that are here and that worked on it, that being Kinder Baumgartner, if you would please rise. Natalia Beard, you're here. Michael Robinson, and Amna Ansari. You guys have done a tremendous amount of work, and I know that Kinder is going to come to the lectern and explain the storyboard that we have out in the reception area outside the boardroom. To me, it's a very, very exciting project, and I want to thank you for all the work that you and your interns have done to bring all these collective ideas together, because I think it's really brilliant. And so, Kinder, if you'd like to come forward, and thank you, Natalia, Amna, and Michael for being here as well.
So, so my name is Kinder Baumgartner. I manage our office here at Houston. We're a landscape architecture, urban design firm. We did Buffalo Bayou Park, for example, which has about that much silt in it now. But you know what? It was designed to have that much silt in it. But anyway, you may be wondering, what are landscape architects doing looking at a port, right? And I think what's important is to realize this is a landscape, right, that's part of our city. And I think from time to time, people forget that it's here. We're extremely interested in, you know, how to raise its, awareness across the city, but also just how the city interacts with it. It's an important piece of infrastructure here. And landscape architects, we look at spaces like this around the world. So we wanted to start right here in our hometown and kind of understand it. So outside, you'll see some boards. It's not a master plan. It's not really a proposal. What it is, it's a vision. And it says, hey, Houston's a visionary place. Some amazing things have come out of this city over time. Let's look at this port from a visionary point of view as well. And so that's what you'll see as you come out. So I want to invite everyone to come out during the executive session or afterwards. We'll be out there. You can kind of look at some of these drawings and things, and we'll fill you in on what you see. But I think most importantly, the thing, I had 7 interns from around the world that worked with us over the summer, but also the chairman, the commissioners, Rich, and the staff here made it a huge success, because you guys were super accessible to us. You made it easy to get information, and I think you guys, you seem to have as much fun as we did working on this project. So thank you guys, and we'll see you outside later.
Thank you, Kinder. We really appreciate you being here. All right, next on the agenda is our staff report. Roger.
Thank you, Chairman, and thanks, Commissioners, and welcome to all our guests. Just want to follow up a little bit on Chairman Longoria's remarks regarding the channel issue, which is certainly a priority of ours and for our whole greater port interest. But I want to take a minute to recap where we are in the recovery efforts of Port Houston operations. I think it's good for people to understand where we are. It's no surprise that when you shut your doors for a week of all your port facilities, there's going to be an impact. And as Chairman mentioned, we closed that Friday the 26th, and we opened back on September the 1st and began working vessels that evening. And in summary, at our container vessel operations, that first week we worked 26 vessels. We came back, it was very busy, there's a lot of ships ready to come in. We are aware of some vessels that diverted. We had 12 vessels that we're aware of that, when I say diverted, they omitted the Houston call. And just because they omitted the call, it means the ship diverted, but the cargo doesn't necessarily divert. Much, if not most, of all of that cargo is going to has been and will continue to be received into our container facilities. An example of that, one ship that bypassed call in Savannah on its way back to North Europe, dumped 600 boxes in Savannah, and they barged back. We eventually got the cargo the same way. There's been some vessels that have hubs in the Caribbean and the Bahamas, have dumped cargo, and other ships have picked those boxes up coming back. So We're seeing very elevated levels of import cargo in September, and those are boxes that were on ships that diverted the initial call into Houston. The gate operations, again, we resumed that Friday to a very healthy volume of traffic, which indicated that the industry was ready to get back to work. I think we had 5,000 moves that Friday, that first day that we opened after the storm, and we've resumed normal gate operations ever since. We even opened the following Saturday to serve our customers and work off this backlog of vessels activity that we had right after the storm. Our staff has just done an admirable job of throughout this recovery, and we've seen no extraordinary turn times of our trucks getting in and out of our terminal. So very pleased with that performance. And as a side note, we had mentioned before, Monday, October the 2nd, we're going to start our extended gate hours at Bayport. Again, part of our plan to better serve the industry and meet this demand of growing volume. So we're going to start that Monday at Bayport. Our general cargo facilities, the conditions early on with the currents and the debris and the obstructions in the channel limited the opening to several days after we were able to open the Barber's Cut and Bayport facilities. In fact, City Docks 8 and 9 are still out of service because there are obstructions in the channel down in the actual turning basin area that don't allow ships to get to those facilities. Our docks out here, 27 through 31, are still out of service due to the obstruction of a sunken dry dock that's right out there in the middle of the channel. I mentioned that our pilots have done a tremendous job. The reason why those docks are out of service is we needed that space to bypass to get into the rest of the city docks. And essentially, those docks are the channel at this time, so ships can bypass this sunken dry dock. So hopefully that situation is resolved soon, but the pilots have worked well to make sure that we got vessels moving into the turning basin. Many of these general cargo ships waited it out. Cargo was destined for here. There was about a dozen ships, general cargo ships that we're aware of that were diverted to either other private terminals inside the port or to other ports in some cases. So we did lose out on some business there. The net effect for August reflects that this impact due to a week of non-activity. General cargo for the month of August is down 16%. Container volume saw a decrease, really, I say, of only 9% in TEUs after losing a week out of the month. So still, overall, our container volume's up 10% over last year. So we've still got a healthy growth, and overall tonnages for the port year to date through August are 25 million tons versus 23 million tons last year. So we think recapturing a lot of that cargo that is just a delayed effect at both our general cargo facilities as well as our container terminals. I mean, you can see outside the activity in the turning basin today, and it's been like that for a couple of weeks now that we're getting a lot of that volume back. So we've been extremely busy since the reopening after Harvey. I want to talk about something a little different. We're getting close to being back to normal. And aside from the channel limitations, our terminals recovered. But we were able to recover due to the incredible efforts and response by many, many dedicated employees who worked before. They worked during, they worked after the storm. They went above and beyond to ensure that the port was able to safely and quickly put back into operation to serve our customers. Give the example of a few, I'm not limited to these, but we had first responders and dispatchers and people in our EOC leadership, some that couldn't leave for a few days because of the flooding in and around the terminal. Maintenance and operations, the ILA, they showed up beforehand at our container terminals to make sure that we were ready to go on that Friday and began to orchestrate what was to be a tremendous level of activity for the next 7 to 9 days after we reopened. IT personnel showed up as soon as they could to go out to the terminals to fix and check all of the systems to make sure that our gates were going to open. We had people at home remotely processing the payroll to make sure that that process was seamless and people got paid, which is very important. We had some people ride out to Sam Houston during the storm to ensure that it was secure. We had others at the we had people showing up at the command center the first day that I was able to get there. People showing up, calling other port employees, checking on their well-being, so that we could respond to their needs once the events of the storm was over. We were dealing with numerous media issues throughout the storm. I can go on and on, but you know, just an incredible effort by our staff. But you know, we had a lot of people impacted, more than 100 employees impacted, just like many in the community, and they're going to be recovering for a while. And our port family was right there with them the whole way. Those that were not able to come to work, but were able to go help others and fellow employees to help them do the things they needed to do to their flooded homes, or get them out of their house, or get them a dry place to stay, was incredible. So these are just a few of the many examples that we had, the acts of service in our organization that make this a truly great organization. And again, there are too many to recognize individually, but I think they need a hand, and a lot of them are in this room. So and throughout the storm, I was amazed at our industry and some of the other ports that, you know, their outpouring of support, reaching out to try to lend a helping hand. It's our friends and colleagues from different ports. And a special shout out to a couple, Georgia Ports Authority and their whole maritime community loaded up 4 20-foot containers with much needed supplies. They had canned goods, they had cleaning supplies, they had blankets, they had you name it, things that people needed for our employees, and they trucked them to Houston after the storm. And just yesterday, I received a note from the South Carolina Ports Authority that they collected more than $7,000 in donations from their employees for our employees for the recovery effort. So we're really grateful for their generosity in making the lives of our employees a little bit easier. So great recognition, and thank our fellow ports in our port community. Last but certainly not least, as we do when people retire, I want to congratulate one of our employees that's retiring today. Robert McCullough. Mac, stand up. Had the opportunity to hire Mac 21 years ago. He's a mechanic at Barber's Cut. Came to work in February 1996. And the last day is Friday, last day to work. And Mac, I just want to thank you for your service. He's been working on RTGs at Barber's Cut. Most recently, been a mechanic for many years, and have a long and happy retirement. Thank you, Mac. I didn't recognize you in those clothes, young man. But thank you. That's all I have.
He doesn't seem sad.
No, he's not sad.
Roger, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Where do we stand on getting the barge and the dock out? What, you got any time limit that when we think we can get those things raised and get back to normal?
Hopefully soon. And
well, I know
they've been working 24/7. You know, Marcus, if you want to maybe shed some light, but I think they're making progress, and I don't know the latest report on that.
Yes, sir. The initial attempts to raise the barge were with divers trying to patch any holes they saw, pump the water out, you know, fill it with air and bring it up. Unfortunately, the dry dock's a little bit aged. They were unable to get all the holes patched. The thing just wouldn't come up. It'd come up 12 inches and go back down. So they've gone to Plan B. Plan B is a chain lift. They have a barge along either side, and they're running messenger wires underneath. They'll then put giant chains underneath, and on each one of those barges, pick it up a link at a time and raise it. And they hope to do that by the end of the week. They start with the chain lift.
Get back to normal.
Yes, sir. We're close to normal right now. Pilots have been doing a great job, but once it gets out of there, we will definitely be back to normal.
Roger, I'd like to go back to something mm-hmm. that you said, because you highlighted all of the efforts of our staff working 24/7 over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, ordinarily we ask people to stand so that we can acknowledge them. And I'm going to ask staff to stay seated, because everyone on this staff has been working 24/7 standing for us, for this region, for this port, for these commissioners. And so I would like to ask staff to remain seated, because you deserve it. And I would like everybody else to rise and give them a standing ovation. Yay, staff. We are an extended family, and we're all very, very proud of that. So thank you all. So on to the agenda. Item G is to approve and reaffirm the audit committee charter, internal audit charter, and internal audit policies effective September the 26th of 2017.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item H is to reject proposals and authorize re-advertisement. Is there a motion?
Motion. Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under awards, amendments, and change orders, item 2, approve the extension of the current 3-year agreement with R.K. Johns.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. Seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 3, authorize the Port Authority to contract with Levy Restaurants to provide customer event services at the 2017 Break Bolt, moved by Commissioner Meese.
Seconded
by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 4 is to authorize the Port Authority to enter into a participation sponsorship agreement for advertising for Break Bolt, moved by Commissioner Meese. Seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 5, authorize the Port Authority to enter into a 1-year advertising and sponsorship agreement with Journal of Commerce in an annual amount not to exceed $180,000, probably our premier.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And item 6, authorize renewal of a professional services contract with CK Productions and David Bray Photography for an additional 1 year commencing October 1st, 2017.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under leases, I'm going to take items 7 through 11 together and would entertain a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under finance, authority to obtain bids, proposals, or qualifications, items 1, A through K.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Don Carlos. Second. Seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under health, safety, security, and emergency management, item 1, award a contract to Network Cabling Services utilizing the Byboard Purchasing Cooperative.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And item 2, enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Morgan's Point for security services for a 1-year period.
Motion. Moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under general, enter into a memorandum of understanding with Galveston Fire Department to provide marine firefighting mutual aid for a 5-year period.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And item 4, renew the agreement with the United States Coast Guard for a 5-year period to exchange and share information and data in order to enhance maritime safety and security. Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And I want to thank Captain Woodring. I'm sure that you've worked very hard on this to assure that we have this mutual cooperation for safety of navigation of Channel 7.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Under infrastructure, item one, reject all proposals for Bayport Container Yard 6 North and South Security and authorize the re-advertisement of a request for proposals for Bayport Container Yard on North and South Security.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under awards, amendments, and change orders, number two, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a two-year environmental consulting agreement in an amount not to exceed $250,000 for general environmental consulting services for the top-ranked proposer in order of staff ranking. First, Terra Nova Consulting. Second, Terra Con Consulting. Third, Argent Consulting. And four, In Control Technologies.
Move staff recommendations. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald for Tierra Nova Consulting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award professional services contract in the amount reflected for facility inspection and condition assessment program in order of staff ranking. First, Brown and Gay Engineers. Second, Taylor and Hill. Third, Walker Restoration Consultants.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy for Brown and Gay Engineers, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four has been removed from the agenda for this meeting. Item five, award a construction contract to Jerdon Enterprise LP for the retaining wall replacement construction adjacent to Shed 1 at the Woodhouse Terminal. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item six, award a construction contract to DuraPure Facilities Services Limited for support at buildings 2 and 3 repairs at Bayport Container Terminal.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item seven, authorize an additional payment not to exceed $2 million to U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for Hurricane Harvey-related dredging expenses for the Turning Basin, Sims Bayou, Woodhouse, and the Houston Public Grain Elevator Terminals.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Meese. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Did you want to say something?
Just to highlight, you know, that's an estimated amount to dredge our berths.
I have no doubt.
It's a pure estimate of the Turning Basin that are in our berths. When the Corps comes in, we can piggyback on that. We have the money set aside to go when they pull the trigger. So,
well, thank you for the estimate. It just has to be done, and you know, we
sure it'll be more.
We pray that
for our berths. So, we're guessing, but we wanted the ability to start as soon as they got in here.
Excellent. Okay, and then item eight, authorize an advanced funding agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation Houston District Office for drainage improvements connected to the southbound Loop 610 feeder road at the Turning Basin Terminal. Boy, do we need that.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. I can't tell you the number of times water has gone over my wheel well when I've tried to get in after a rain event, and I'm sure the same thing has happened to every commissioner and every staff member. So that's.
I can tell you how many times.
Money well spent. Okay, under general, enter into a month-to-month lease agreement with 2 Plus of Texas Inc., doing business as STAR, to lease vans under the Houston Galveston Area Council Metro Van Program for 1 year.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner V, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And item 10 is to adopt a new fee schedule for construction materials, engineering, testing, and inspection services.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Commissioner Second. Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Okay, under permits, licenses, and pipeline easements, I'll take items 11 through 14.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese.
You recusing?
Seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. I am recusing on 11. All in favor, signify by saying aye, noting my recusal on 11.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item's carried. Under operations, item one, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a two-year contract for the purchase of wire ropes. In the order of staff ranking, from first to last, is first Southwest Wire Rope Inc., second, well, just two, Bishop Lifting Products. Is
motion,
there a
motion? Staff recommendation.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald for Southwest Wire Rope, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item two, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a contract for purchase of gate interchange cards for the Barber's Cut Terminal and Bayport Container Terminal in the amount reflected in that item.
So moved.
For staff ranking?
Right.
That will be moved by Commissioner Mee, seconded by Commissioner Branch for Digital Printing Systems, Inc. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, award a two-year contract to XL Parts LLC for the purchase of equipment batteries for terminal equipment at Barber's Cut, Bayport Container Terminal, and Turning Basin in an amount not to exceed $300,000.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four is to award a two-year contract to North Line NC as reflected in that item.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Don Carlos, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Item carries. Item five is to award a three-year contract to Alamo Transformer Supply Company for the repair and oil testing of transformers for Barber's Cut, Bayport, Turning Basin in the amount reflected in that item.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item six, award a two-year contract to Graybar Electric Company for the purchase of electrical and lighting components for maintenance of facilities and equipment at Barber's Cut, Bayport, and the Turning Basin using the local government purchasing cooperatives, U.S. Communities Government Purchasing in an amount not to exceed $2 million.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Finally, under operations, issue a purchase order to Houston Freightliner Western Star for the purchase of one truck with a 3,500-gallon fuel tank. That's impressive. For Barber's Cut Terminal using the local government purchasing cooperatives, Houston Galveston Area Council, in an amount not to exceed $160,000. Moved by Commissioner Mee.
Seconded
by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Nothing under people this meeting. Item one, under technology, award a five-year contract to Verizon Business Network Systems, Inc. for session initiation protocol telephony services using a state of Texas Department
motion.
Of Information.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. Mr. Thompson, may I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
What are session initiation protocol telephony services?
It is a replacement for the antiquated service we use now to make phone calls.
Good to know. Thank you so much. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item two, award a 10-year contract to Petrosys Solutions, Inc., doing business as PSI Technology for disaster recovery data center services using a state of Texas Department of Information Services Cooperative Purchase Program in an amount not to exceed $1,600,000.
So moved. Second.
And before we call it for a question, Mr. Thompson, on this 10-year contract, if it turns out that this provider is not what we expect, can we terminate that contract anytime during that 10-year period?
Absolutely, we can.
Okay, very good. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, award a one-year contract to Petrosys Solutions, PSI Technology, for the planning and migration of the Turning Basin data center to a disaster recovery data center location using a state of Texas Department of Information Resources Cooperative Purchase Program in an amount not to exceed $250,000.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Mee, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four, amend and extend for an additional 5 years existing contract with Comcast Cable Communications Management for additional circuits supporting the disaster recovery data center in an amount not to exceed $1,100,000.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. It is now time to recess our public meeting and convene in executive session.
Board Commissioner of the Port Abuse Authority, Harris County, Texas, will convene a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meeting Act and Government Code to conduct private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding proposals by the City of Morgan's Point, Texas, the Texas Public Information Act, and a proposed amendment to the agreement for legal services for deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberation regarding disposition of attorney, based on area real property, Woodhouse real property, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberation of public employees, and security related. The court commission will reconvene public sessions after the closed meeting is adjourned.
I got it. Branch, do you have an item?
I do. Chairman, I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend its agreement for legal services with Boyer Miller on the terms discussed in executive session, and authorize the chief legal officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Are there any other matters to come out of executive session? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.